Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both the will and do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. Baptist churches, did you hear what that said? Without murmurings and disputings. That you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. So putting Christ first shows that we have a responsibility to live for God and to serve God and obey God. And if we do that, we can have an influence on the rest of the world. The only way we're ever going to have an influence to tell somebody how to be saved is if we have a testimony that we are living what we say that we believe. That's vital. 2 Corinthians 5:20, now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead. We're the visible mouthpiece for Christ to represent him to the world, and especially to those who are not yet saved. And we make an appeal to them to be reconciled to God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And God has given us that authority, and he has given us that responsibility to be his ambassadors. God, through Christ, has made us a new creation, and he has committed to us the word of reconciliation and the ministry of reconciliation, that we will reconcile men to God by sharing with them the gospel message of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, for the love of Christ constrains us. We have to beware of the difficulties of our nation today, that we don't draw inward to just protecting I, me, and mine. And that's a full-time job today, to earn a living and to deal with all this COVID thing and all the unrest in the country. And so it's real easy for us to draw inward and forget about my neighbor that lives down the street that's not saved, somebody that I work with in the plant where I work not being know the Lord. And it's vital that we as Christians still are the mouthpiece for God. We're the living letters of the Scripture. The unsaved may not read the Bible, and if they do, they're not going to have full understanding of it until they get saved. And so it's vital that God's people are the living expression of the Word of God. Paul said, ye are our epistle, known and read of all men. You're the letter, and it's your lifestyle and your manner of living and the words from your mouth that are going to reconcile men to God. He said, for the love of Christ constraineth us. God loving us lays a burden upon us to love others and to help them come to know what we have. No longer live unto ourselves, but for Christ and others. So today I just want us to kind of renew our thinking about rejoicing that we're saved, rejoicing that we can pray to God, rejoicing for the access we have, rejoicing for the knowledge that he's given us in the study of his word, and that we are burdened about those who don't know these things, who are caught up in this present evil world, caught up in the difficulties and the troubles and the problems where they murmur and complain and try to blame God for all the trouble they're going through. I think about how Mr. Trump gets blamed for everything, and how, people have the same attitude toward God and without loving him and serving him, and yet they complain and turn away from him. To have the devotion of heart to show our love for him and others, it takes the depth of our soul, as Jesus quoted from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 through 6, that Hebrew writing that they quote all the time in their services to love the Lord our God with. The Lord our God is one Lord. Thou shalt love the Lord our God with all our heart and soul and mind and love our neighbor. That's in a different passage, loving our neighbor. So if we're going to have the devotion of heart to show our love for God and for others, and to have the depth of our soul dedicated unto Him, with the force of all our might to walk the straight and narrow path, then let us do as Peter said in 2 Peter 3:18, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Renew our dedication. Renew our desire. Renew our commitment to the Word of God and to living the Christian life and to being a witness for Christ. Renew our dedication to the church and the ministry that we operate through. Psalm 63, the psalmist spoke of some of these same things. In Psalm 63, the scripture says a psalm of David when he was in the wilderness in Judah. Psalm 63 and verse 1, O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. To see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches, because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. My soul followeth hard after thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me. David spoke of a longing for God. Early he would seek the Lord. You rise in the morning. It's one of the greatest times to spend some time studying the Word of God and seeking God's guidance for the day and His protection and provision for our lives. We have to dedicate ourselves to do that, and that takes a coming face to face with a little bit of a holy dissatisfaction with the status quo. If we've sealed ourselves up in our comfort zone like we've had to do in our houses in this pandemic, then we won't grow, we won't be effective in ministry, we won't accomplish what God wants us to do. If we've become cold or slack or indifferent, is our effort for God and others evidenced in our study and in our sacrifices and in our service? We self-impose limits upon ourselves, upon our dedication, and upon our service. Oh, I'm satisfied if I do a little. I read a couple of verses in the Bible this morning. What are you griping about? I pray before I eat my meals. And if some of our grandkids, if we're in a hurry to eat, we call on them to pray because they got a little prayer, you know, thank you for this food in Jesus' name, amen. And we ought to, as we grow as a Christian, our prayer ought to get deeper than that. It ought to be longer than that. It should give God glory. It should praise the Lord. And it should seek intervention for others when we're praying for ourselves. In Jeremiah 33:3, God told Jeremiah, call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. We have to get a little dissatisfied with the status quo, with what we're accomplishing, and want more from God, and want more of God in our life, and want to accomplish more in the work of the ministry. We ought to believe more is possible. More is possible, and we ought to believe more is possible. James 4:8, draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to thee. This requires, James said, cleansing our hands. Boy, that, fooling around that little golf cart yesterday, I got some nicks and scrapes and that acid, and my hands were so dirty, I scrubbed them over and over and over. I took a shower and took the washcloth and scrubbed them and just couldn't get everything off. You know, it was hard dirt ground in with some grease and acid. And my hands needed cleaning. And you know, I thought about the spiritual side. It takes the blood of Christ to cleanse us of our sins. We're not going to do it with soap and water. It's deeper than that. It's harsher than that. It has a deeper effect than that. And we got to come to God to get our hands cleansed the way they need to be for His service and for His honor. We have to purify our hearts and be not double-minded. We are to be afflicted and mourn and weep and humble ourselves to God, and He will lift us up. When's the last time you spent some time in prayer and wept over somebody? Wept over their soul to God. Got up in the night and wrestled with the Lord as Jacob did of old. Jacob didn't want to go meet with his brother and deal with everything that had happened through all those years. And he wrestled with the Lord. And God touched the hollow of his thigh and He let him go. And He gave him a name of Jacob, the Prince of Israel. And He gave him the sons to follow him that would become the nation of Israel. When's the last time you wrestled with the Lord over something? Or wrestled with the Lord over someone? If you got kids and grandkids, and if you got any of them that's not in church, they're a prodigal out in the world, I promise you it'll make you wet your pillow. And seek the Lord's help and ask God to intervene where you can't do it yourself. You don't have the power to do the things that you need to do. And so God help us to be that kind of people. Love the Lord with all our heart and soul and strength, and love our neighbor as ourselves. Exalt Christ in first place in our life and let Him work through us to do His will. Secondly, today, Jesus told His disciples that He had many things yet to say to them. Make a note and look this up later, John 16:12. He said, I have many things yet to say to you, but you're not ready to hear them now. I wonder what God would do in my life and with my life if I was ready. If I was in the spiritual condition I would need to be in to accomplish what He would have me to do. David wrote, early will I seek thee, my soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee in a desolate land, like a desert. No water, no place of refreshing, no place to live and survive without water. I long to see thy power and thy glory. David had a longing for God that made God say David was a man after His own heart. Are you longing for something today from God? Are you longing for an answered prayer? Are you longing to see somebody get saved or get right with the Lord, get back in church? Or is there somebody or something, that a circumstance you're longing to God over today? Peace in our land today. Our loved ones saved. A prodigal to turn back to God can create a longing that years gone by, when the preachers would preach and remind people of the lost, when the invitation was given, there would be people come to kneel at the altar and cry and wet the altar with their tears, weeping over the soul of someone. And then when the revival meeting was held and there was 4, 5, 6 days of services taking place, some of those same people would bring that person to church with them and walk down the aisle with them to receive Christ as their Savior. Answered prayer. I've heard preachers say today the only way the altar gets wet in the average church is if somebody kicks a flower pot over. We're not weeping. We're not seeking God with that much emotion and heart and dedication and going the extra mile like we would long for water in a dry and thirsty place. Maybe you need a second chance in life yourself. Maybe you've messed up and you need a what kids and golfers call a do-over. You need a do-over. You need a second chance. God is the God of new beginnings. His mercies are new every day, the Scripture says. We need to pray for it. We need to seek it. We need to search for it in His Word. A promise from God that we can lay hold on. A longing for what's right and good, and an expectation that God will answer our prayers, not because we're in some special way worthy, but because Christ is worthy of being preeminent and exalted and shared with the world around us. David said in Psalm 51, when he repented of his sin, that God restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, cleanse me of all my sins, and then will I teach transgressors thy way. To have a testimony for the Lord. Richard Blackaby wrote, "It broke my heart to realize God must withhold things from me because I am not prepared to receive them." Do we lack spiritual maturity to manage the learning that God would have us to have? Are we not receiving more from God because we need to do business at the altar ourselves in repentance? Receiving more, being used more, to have more of God. The Scripture says we are to knock and seek, and we're to keep on knocking and asking of God that He might bless. To grow, we must first be obedient to all the truth that we know that He has revealed unto us. We'll stop our growth for God if we're being disobedient and holding on to sin and not repenting of it before the Lord and confessing it unto Him. We'll stop our growth right there. We need to come back to that place and make it right with God and start growing again. Thirdly, the source of help that we need is God and His Word. It reveals His wisdom that He's willing to share with us that we might know what He would have us to do in His perfect will. Some families sit together in church, but they're far apart in the home. Where is God? Some people have the answers, but they're not going to put forth the effort to put it into practice. Their temper's stirred. Their heart is broken. They're offended. And they're not going to be the one to make the step of saying, "I'm sorry and please forgive me and let's start afresh and new. Let's ask God to help us." If we draw nigh to Him, He will draw nigh to us. He's given us His Word and His Spirit and His church and fellow believers, and everything we need to be right with God is here for us if we'll just reach out and take it. I've never baked bread in my life. Only bread I've ever baked is a Whopper biscuit. You know what a Whopper is, don't you? That cardboard tube, you hit it on the counter and whop, and it's pre-made biscuits pop out, you know, and you put them on a pan and put them in the oven and bake them. I'd probably burn them if I did. I know enough. I've never baked cake or anything like that either, but I know enough to know this. If I was going to do that, you got to have a recipe. If you're going to make scratch biscuits, I love scratch-made buttermilk biscuits. Hardee's used to put those advertisements on TV about that woman in there in the kitchen stirring up that dough and pouring in that buttermilk, you know, and I mean, they had some good biscuits. There wasn't nobody had biscuits like they did for years and years and years. Buttermilk biscuits. My grandmother used to make them on a wood stove. And there's just something about that that added to the flavor and the taste. Country people that worked on the farm, they'd make those big old cathead biscuits and they'd put a pan of some extra ones left over on top of the stove up there. There's a little warming area. And they'd fry up fatback or bacon, you know, and they'd leave a few pieces of that. Boy, you go out and work all morning, come back and grab you a biscuit and a slice of that fatback or bacon, and that tied you over till mealtime came, you know. I posted on Facebook the other day about a sandwich I made. My daughter used to call it a daddy sandwich. She'd say, "Daddy, make me a daddy sandwich." And I slice everything, onions and cucumbers and tomato and ham, and put all that on a sandwich, you know, and put a piece of cheese on there with it. And that's a daddy sandwich. You know, when you pick it up to bite it, it runs down your elbows, you know, and it falls off in the plate and all that sort of thing. I put that on Facebook the other day. I made a sandwich like that with 12 grain bread and Duke's mayonnaise. And Joyce Osteen was in the hospital at Myrtle Beach, sent me a text and said, "You just made me hungry," something awful, you know. I would have to have a recipe to bake bread or to bake a cake. I know that, enough of that. I'm not a builder. I don't build houses and all that. But I do know how to read blueprints, and I know if you got the right blueprints, you can put it together. My wife bought a stove, refrigerator, and sink for our daughter when we were in Springfield, Missouri. I went to school all morning, went second shift, worked till midnight, came home. She handed me the blueprints that was 18 pages long, had 1,100 little nuts and bolts and brackets to put together this stove, refrigerator, and sink for our daughter. And those blueprints were hard to read with all those little pieces. I worked as long as I could through the night and got up the next morning, worked a while longer, finally got it put together enough she could play with it. But I threatened my wife, you know, with an inch of her life to not buy something like that again. Go ahead and pay the money and get it put together, you know. Well, God's given us the blueprints. It's called the Word of God. He's given us the recipe of how to have a spiritual life and how to be saved and how to know we're going to heaven and how to love God and love our neighbor and all of that's been given to us. Forgiveness, submission, obedience, discipline, respect, the chain of command, the place of great responsibility has been laid upon us as the ambassadors of Christ. And God's given us everything that we need to do the job that He's asked us to do. A lot of responsibility on mom and dad and the children as they're coming up to be obedient and to grow. Sadly, God must often use crisis and conflict and difficulty, health scares and financial hardships to get us to the place that we'll humble ourselves and seek His help and ask His need. We often say we grow more in the valley than we do on the mountaintop. And that's because when you're in a bad enough valley, you're going to really try to get hold of God. Like the woman who pressed through the crowd to touch the hem of the garment of Jesus. And that faith that was in her, that's all it took, and she was made whole. And we need to seek God in that way. We have to get out of our comfort zone. We face the problems our nation's facing today. It ought to make us seek God more and pray more and ask for God's wisdom more. We're not supposed to worry and fret and be afraid. We're supposed to let our requests be made known to God with thanksgiving and believe that He will answer our prayers. Most often we face adversity and trials and hardships. We get impatient. We get angry. We don't, why me? You know, why do I have to go through this? Why does this happen to me all the time? Well, God may be trying to teach you something. He may be trying to reach you spiritually to draw you to where He wants you to be. We seek answers from things that are not of God. We look to people to meet our needs. We try to manufacture ourselves the change that we need, but what we need is God and a closeness to Him. Truth may be God is using the trials to purify us, to draw us unto Himself, to raise us up to a place where He can talk to us and deal with us through His Word to show us what His perfect will is that we are to do. Peter spoke of the blessings of the Lord, that we may need to go through temptations, trials of our faith right now. And he likened it to purifying gold ore into usable gold. God burns up the impurities in our life, and then He can use us for His honor and glory. When the goldsmith would get all the impurities burned out, he'd be able to see his image in the pool of liquid gold. And when God can see His image in us, then we're ready to be poured out and to be used. In Rome, they were ready to make coins. God's ready to make warriors and prayers and witnesses and preachers and missionaries and witnesses if we'll just let Him burn out the impurities and get us to the point that He can tell us what we need to hear and use us for what He wants us to do. Father, thank You for the faithfulness of Your people being here today. We do ask Your blessings upon each one. Pray for protection and safety in our church. We are dependent upon You, O God, and we ask for Your help. We pray that You'll guide us and direct us in the specific things that You would have us to do. Help us to do what we know is right to do already, to be a witness for Christ, to study our Bibles, to come to church, to be faithful to the Lord, to obey the Scriptures. Lord, if we do those things, then You probably can lead us to another level of spiritual growth where we can be greater used and be pleasing and acceptable in Your sight. We ask You for that help, and we give You our thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Ms. Quinn's